I wonder how women would react today upon receiving word from a strange intruder that God wished to impregnate them with a child born of the Holy Spirit. Certainly, the meeting between Gabriel and Mary in Luke's gospel is the stuff of tabloid journalism. Mary herself, a child barely in her teens, is betrothed but not fully married to Joseph, possibly an elderly man, since we hear nothing about him later on in any of the Gospels. Most likely, her husband was not of her own choosing, but selected by an arrangement of her parents. Women had little choice on any matter in those days. But to make matters worse, God proposed through the angel Gabriel a scandalous act by which Mary would give birth before her marriage to Joseph. If this is what Gabriel meant when he announced, "The Lord is with you," we might sympathize if Mary doused him with a can of pepper spray and threatened to scream for the police if he didn't go away. For he truly sounded like someone who wasn't playing with a full deck. However, if we're to place this message in the realm of the miraculous, it is not inconceivable that this same message might also be directed toward men, especially if we accept the notion that with God all things are possible. This makes me wonder how different relations between men and women would be, especially in the workplace, if men were physically able to give birth. That would be truly a miracle worth watching, that I think men would prefer to avoid while women would savor. I mention this because pregnancy is not as pleasant as romantic novels and movies make it out to be. I'm sure most of you know this already. The gospel tells us that when Elizabeth, Mary's much older cousin, was pregnant with John the Baptist, when she heard Mary's voice, her child leapt in her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'll bet that she was also filled with some choice words to God that shouldn't be repeated here. Still, Mary and Elizabeth needed some time away from their spouses to consider and share the reality in which God had placed them, a reality which, as of yet, only they could see. Despite the fact that the gospel regarded their husbands as righteous men, Matthew's gospel tells us that Joseph, upon hearing that Mary was pregnant, resolved to spare them both public humiliation by divorcing her quietly. Only the visitation of an angel convinced him to alter this plan. And as for Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, I suggest that you note the judgmental jab Luke's gospel makes toward clergy so consumed by the pressures of tangible proof that they ignore the reality of God. Zechariah, a priest, could not accept the angelic message that his wife, well beyond the age of childbearing, would bear the one who would announce the coming of the Lord. And since he could not accept the word of God as it stood before him as plain as day, Gabriel prevented him from speaking at all until the birth of his son. How scandalous that a priest, a member of the clergy, acknowledged by the gospel as a righteous man of God, should be cast in such humiliating ungodliness and then contrasted with Mary, a woman who conceives out of wedlock, as being less faithful than she. Surely, God had conceived a plan of righteousness that was yet to be fully seen and comprehended. I was reminded of this while in New York City during the Occupy Wall Street movement. When Trinity Church Wall Street, pressured by the worldly powers among its members, refused to offer space and sanctuary to those resisting corporate greed and economic injustice in our nation, the question of occupiers resounded with ringing reverberation in our ears. How can the church, which should embody the earthly realm of God, extending extravagant hospitality to those in desperate need, treat us this way? The numbing reality is that even the church, hearing the angelic news that God is with us, still responds as Zechariah, saying, "That's impossible. How can this be? How can this be?" From time immemorial, humanity has envisioned an unselfish ideal in which all people would live in harmony and peace with one another. The Greek philosopher Plato imagined a republic where wise rulers would eliminate poverty through the fair distribution of resources. The prophet Isaiah and Micah foresaw a time when the people of the world would be reconciled with one another by a divinely anointed ruler, inspiring them to beat their swords into plowshares and study war no more. The revelation of John pictured an age when the home of God would dwell among mortals, when God would wipe away every tear, for sadness and crying and pain would be no more. Renaissance statesman Thomas More pictured a utopia where labor was shared, no one suffered, unemployment and health care was free to all. Matthew's gospel anticipated a time when the meek would inherit the earth. And we wonder, how can this be? Since the presidential election, I have spoken with several people who did not vote for the candidate for whom I voted. These are good and decent and caring individuals, striving for decent goals we share in common, but through radically different means and methods. So radically different that I believe our nation has not been so divided since the Civil War. Yet within the next few years, amid the intense rivalry of competing visions for a better world, the church in general and this church in particular will need to weigh in with clear, unwavering articulation and demonstration as to what it means to follow the way of Christ and inspire others who see to see that which is not yet seen, but within our grasp. My soul magnifies the Lord, said Mary. For God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. Can you see it? Can you see it? Regardless of gender, God desires to impregnate each of us with the child of the divine Holy Spirit, that we may give birth, even as we are reborn, to the reality and truth that God can make of us whatever we will allow God to become in us. Inspired by Moses' vision and experience in the Exodus, Reverend Martin Luther King, on the night before he was assassinated, said that he, like Moses, had been to the mountaintop and seen the promised land. God calls and compels us to see and then, like King, proclaim to a world that cannot see the prophetic Advent vision. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. See it. Believe it. Become it.